Welcome, everyone, to Redacted on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the big stories that the mainstream media is largely ignoring or try to see our way through the propaganda and connect the dots for you as we navigate this crazy clown world together. And today we had some big breaking news this afternoon. The House of Representatives, yes, passed their ban on TikTok. Man, they got together on this one really quickly. Very fast, they were able to move on the banning of TikTok. Now it'll go to the United States Senate, and President Biden is expected to sign it. They've said that they will in fact sign this. But we want to follow the money. We want to follow exactly what's happening here. Something very fishy is going on with this.
Right, and we're also going to talk about puberty blockers, how in the UK now the National Health is no longer going to prescribe them. Why are they making this choice? Finally, what is the damning evidence about doing this to children? Probably the biggest medical scandal of ever.
Of ever?
Of human existence.
Could rival COVID, but we'll see. We'll see how this all comes
together. No.
Okay.
This is worse.
And also Haiti, of course, there's so much propaganda right now floating around online from a lot of X users and so forth and the mainstream media about what is happening with Haiti and this impending invasion of the United States with a cannibal army of Haitian angry mobs. So what's the truth on that? We're going to get to the bottom of all of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Welcome in to Redacted. Someone in the chat just said they were predicting before we started live here. We are live. Good to see all of you. That Natalie would be wearing pink tonight.
Really?
So,
no.
Yeah, someone said, I guarantee you Natalie will be wearing pink. But then the person also said Clayton will be wearing a pink blouse and pumps. You got that part wrong, but you did get the pink part right on Natalie's side.
Can you prove it on the pumps, please?
No.
Let's see your feet.
No, I'm not going to show my... No one wants to see my feet. There was a creep that used to watch one old show that I used to work on. He used to send really creepy emails to like the girl hosts of the show.
Oh, yeah. I've worked on local news, too. I got lots of those.
My old co-host, Allison Camerato, on Fox and Friends, they used to send creepy messages about her feet. It's really disgusting.
Oh, I had a friend who was the weather girl in New York City. And she got emails from someone who was in a federal penitentiary and said, if you wear blue, I know you're accepting my marriage proposal. And then subsequently did like send her paperwork because she eventually wore blue.
Oh my God.
To marry her.
Well, it's like three months later, she wore blue. That's the signal.
And it's like, finally, she's mine. Wait,
are they still married? Or
She already was married.
It's a match made in heaven. You know what's a match made in heaven? Our newsletter. We have a daily newsletter. Please subscribe to it. Go to redacted.inc. It's totally free. It's the best newsletter in the world. You can sign up and it'll be delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning over your cup of coffee. You can get caught up on the things you might have missed while you were sleeping. We cover stories that you're not going to read on CNN.com or the New York Times. We cover real stories. And that's why Google has said that we are dangerous. So when you sign up, you'll receive a welcome email. You have to verify it. But it might wind up in your junk folder or your spam folder because, again, Gmail has labeled us as dangerous. So just drag it over to your inbox, and then tomorrow morning, on Thursday morning, you will receive the newsletter. Again, it's redacted.inc. It's not .com. It's redacted.inc. All right, let's get to this. So what is really going on here? Something very fishy just happened in Washington, and we should all be very concerned about it. Just before lunchtime today, the House of Representatives voted to ban TikTok in the United States, citing national security concerns over China using it to spy on Americans.
Now to breaking news in our nation's capital, the U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill that would ban TikTok in the U.S., unless its Chinese parent company sells the social media platform. KTLA's Trevor Shirley, live in Washington, with the latest for us. Trevor, good morning.
Frank, good morning to you as well. This vote just coming down in the House within the past hour or so. It was an overwhelmingly bipartisan vote. The final vote count coming in at 352 to 65. And because there was so much buy-in from both sides of the aisle, it could certainly influence how the Senate votes whenever this bill gets over to that side of Congress.
Yeah. So overwhelming support. What sorts of things get overwhelming support in Congress these days?
Peace?
No, peace.
Withdrawal from other countries?
So just let's put this in some context here, right? So the United States government, which illegally spies on Americans, is upset that China might be spying on Americans using an app that they openly decided to sign up for. Like, it's your choice to use this app and download it and put it on your phone.
Also, they spy on Chinese, too. The U.S. government installed software in Huawei TVs in order to spy on Chinese people.
Right.
So we did that.
Okay. And also, so I guess that the way China can learn, why would they want to do this? So that China can learn, you know, what are the up-and-coming dance moves for and memes among 18-year-olds?
Well, if you were playing this out, it would be that you could listen in on other things that is happening on other apps or other conversations.
But yeah, I guess
being
you
on somebody's phone.
Yeah, dive into, yeah.
The same way, again, that Huawei software worked that we put in Chinese homes on televisions.
So they think you're stupid. I mean, Congress really thinks you're stupid and that you won't figure out what's actually going on here. The House approved the legislation dubbed the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. So, damn, Congress can move really quickly when it wants to. Shut the U.S. border? Nah. Ban TikTok? Yeah, we can get that done quickly. Oh, of course, what they're not telling you is that this will give unbelievable powers to the president of the United States. As this meme points out, this is a Trojan horse with the ability to ban everything. Ban TikTok legislation, ability to ban everything is hidden inside. Congress just says, come on right in. Friend of the show, Whitney Webb, investigative journalist Whitney Webb, said, the censorship during the and post-COVID was just a warm-up. It's going to get much worse, especially the closer we get to the U.S. election. And if you aren't thinking about alternatives about how to access information by other means, you need to. And that's exactly what we've been warning about here on this show, that as we get closer and closer to the election, the censorship is going to really ramp up. Here was Congressman Thomas Massey just a few moments before the bill passed, kind of pleading with his colleagues, saying that this will open up the door to massive abuse by the executive branch.
The gentleman from Kentucky is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I know the sponsors of this bill are sincere in their concerns and in their effort to protect Americans. They've described the TikTok application as a Trojan horse, but there's some of us who feel that either intentionally or unintentionally, this legislation to ban TikTok is actually a Trojan horse. Some of us are concerned that there are First Amendment implications here. Americans have the right to view information. We don't need to be protected by the government from information. Some of us just don't want the president picking which apps we can put on our phones or which websites that we can visit. We don't think that's appropriate. We also think it's dangerous to give the president that kind of power, to give him the power to decide what Americans can see on their phones and their computers. To give him that sort of discretion, we also think is dangerous. Now, people say that this TikTok ban will only apply to TikTok or maybe another company that pops up just like TikTok, but the bill is written so broadly that the president could abuse that discretion and include other companies that aren't just social media companies and that aren't, as some people would believe, controlled by foreign adversaries. Again, we're giving the president that discretion to decide whether it is controlled by a foreign adversary. There were some people who were legitimately concerned that this was an overly broad bill, and they got an exclusion written into the bill that I want to read. It says, the term covered company does not include an entity that operates a website or application whose primary purpose is to allow users to post product reviews, business reviews, or travel information and reviews. Why is this exception in the bill? Why did somebody feel like they needed this exception if the bill itself only covers social media applications that foreign adversaries are running. These and other questions we hope to answer in the course of this debate, and I reserve the balance of my time.
The gentleman from Kentucky reserves the...
Yeah, so then it passed, of course.
He's not going to get those answers because it's a done deal.
It's a done deal. And as Sylvia R. in the chat just says, thank you for your comments, says TikTok is just the beginning.
And yeah, someone else said, oh, is redacted for the Chinese Communist Party? That's not what we're saying, dummy. We're saying that this is a Trojan horse.
Oh, my God. I do not suffer fools these days. I really can't. Because if you think about what we're saying here, this is giving an incredible amount of power to President Biden. It's not about China. Don't fall for the propaganda on this. It is about giving unbelievable power to spy on Americans and to do more against Americans. That's exactly what this is.
Go ahead, David. It's giving them the power to take something like Rumble and be like, nope, free speech, out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. X, out. Yep, YouTube, out. I mean, they're already doing that on Facebook. They already have that, you know, and YouTube. Yeah, to go after a platform like Rumble, to go after these, depending on where they're hosting this information in the United States. Is it hosted on American servers? If it's not, then... So here's what Massey was talking about. He's talking about in this foreign adversary-controlled application, in the bill, the term foreign adversary-controlled application means a website, desktop application, mobile application. So a website? Okay, so now this is what the power of the White House will have in its possession is the power to ban websites? We already see that across Europe. Europe doesn't want you to access information about Russia. They block websites all the time. So now we're going to become like...
This is literally why we shake our head against China. Like, oh, they can't really Google things like Falun Dafa.
Yeah.
Or they can't see websites
Tiananmen Square,
about Tiananmen Square. Yeah. Right. Okay. Get ready for that reality.
You think this is just limited to TikTok? Get your head out of your ass. But you guys are smart who are watching this right now. You know. And then here's what Thomas Massey says about the providing services to... Here's a problem. If it provides services to distribute, maintain, or update such foreign adversary-controlled applications by means of a marketplace, an online mobile application store, through which users within the land or the maritime borders of the United States may access, maintain, or update such application, providing internet hosting services. Also, as part of this, VPN services, like if you're using VPNs, would be a problem. Here's what Massey says. If you think this isn't a Trojan horse and will only apply to TikTok and foreign adversary social media companies, then contemplate why someone thought it was important to get a very specific exclusion for their internet-based business written into the bill. As he just held up, the term covered company does not include the entity that operates a website, desktop application, mobile application, or augmented, or immersive technology application whose primary purpose is to allow users to post product reviews, business reviews, or travel information and reviews. Isn't that hilarious?
It's weird, too. Just
such a weird carve-out.
Just Yelp.
Just New York Times,
TripAdvisor,
and like their Wirecutter website or something like that?
No, it's specifically saying to review products and businesses and services, which is like, yeah, Trustpilot and things like that. That's weird. Like,
yeah.
Why do they only think it's okay for us to review products?
Gary Cushing in our chat says, you need to look at what's in the full bill. As they scream TikTok, as always, redacted is ahead of the curve on this on the idiot mainstream media. Thank you for always showing what is behind the curtain on this bill. Oh, it gets worse, Gary, but thank you for saying that. Because their argument, again, they want you to focus on China. I don't care. Whatever you feel about China, that's irrelevant here. It's what's written in the bill and what powers it gives to the United States government. Forget TikTok and forget China. It's how far this will go. The argument, of course, is that China is going to use this to control America. Here is neocon Dan Crenshaw.
You wouldn't allow a radio tower owned by the Chinese to be put up right in the middle of Washington, D.C., and then allow it to just put out Chinese propaganda. You'd probably complain about that. That's exactly what TikTok can be used for, because millions of Americans are addicted to it. They see it, and the Chinese can absolutely manipulate those algorithms. The First Amendment does not give the Chinese Communist Party the right to American data or the right to manipulate the minds of Americans. That would be a really weird interpretation of the First Amendment. The primary counterarguments to this bill seem to be as shallow as, you know, well, it doesn't do everything I want, and Facebook's really mean. and I don't want them to make money. So what, then that means you owe Chinese access to all of our data and access to manipulate the minds of Americans? I don't think so. This is a very specific bill, very specifically tailored. It does not harm American companies or American individuals. You know it. You got to read it. Pass this bill.
Yeah. That guy's an idiot.
They only want to be able to manipulate the U.S. government is the only one that can manipulate
the minds.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
and
two things on that. First off, it was very telling that he was using the word can and not is. He's saying China can do this, but that doesn't mean they are. They don't have any proof that they are. It's just that the ability would be there.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up. Right. Where is the proof of that? Show us the evidence in front of Congress. You're not afraid to show us, hold up vials of, you know, of white powder that Saddam Hussein is using, right, to justify an invasion. Show us. Show us exactly how Americans are in danger. Show it to us. Because here's an actual danger. You know, you tell us China is the problem, right? China is going to be controlling the United States. But when it comes to our southern borders, China is already here. Military-aged men, 60 Minutes, just did an entire report on Chinese mass migration coming into the United States. But you're concerned about TikTok? This is literally happening right here, and we have the proof in front of your face, right here. Rand Paul says this, reactionaries who want to ban TikTok claim the data can't be secured because the algorithm is in China. Not true, he says. The truth is the algorithm runs in the U.S. in Oracle Cloud with their review of the code, not in China. Maybe we should examine the facts before committing violations of the First and Fifth Amendments. Then he says, they want to ban TikTok because it's owned by China. Not true. 60% of the company is owned by the United States international investors. 20% is owned by the company founders. 20% is owned by company employees, including over 7,000 Americans. The CEO of TikTok is from Singapore, not China. So ask yourself why they keep repeating this lie to you to scare you. And then he released this just shortly, a few minutes ago, just after the passage of this bill. Now, remember, he's in the Senate, of course, so he gets to vote no on this when it hits the Senate floor. He says, my statement on the House TikTok ban, the passage of the House TikTok ban is not just misguided overreach. It's a draconian measure that stifles free expression, tramples constitutional rights, disrupts the economic pursuits of millions of Americans. With an iron fist, Congress dictated an unrealistic and narrow path for divestment, right? Breaking apart this company and selling it, effectively banning TikTok and ignoring its substantial investments in data security. This act is not securing our nation. It's a disturbing gift of unprecedented authority to President Biden and the surveillance state that threatens the very core of American digital innovation and free expression. So could this be why a huge number of posts that have been flagged and taken down have nothing at all to do with China? I find it very curious. So what's going on here? In fact, many users reporting that their posts are being removed or taken down if they're anti-Israel or anti-U.S. government posts. I find that interesting. So China is controlling TikTok? Taking down, like,
pro-Israel?
Anti-Israel. Anti-Israel, anti-American surveillance state posts? Why would China do that? It's very curious, isn't it? In fact, this week, our very own TikTok account, speaking from experience, was banned. Why was it banned? When we logged in, to find out, logging in earlier this week, our team received this message. You know why? Because we posted evidence on how Israel stood down its IDF soldiers on October 7th. So here's one of the posts that was flagged. They struck three posts of ours about Israel, and then they banned our account. Oddly, it had nothing to do with China. So that's one of the posts that they flagged there. China is no friend to Israel, of course. Very curious. It's also very curious why recently the head of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, was caught on leaked audio slamming TikTok as a major threat to Zionism. Not saying they're connected, I just think it's curious. He didn't need to be caught on leaked audio, though, slamming TikTok, because he did it publicly right on MSNBC to the parrots at MSNBC. And listen to Mika Brzezinski, like, shaking her head in agreement with him.
But we need to talk about TikTok. TikTok, if you will, it is the 24/7 news channel of so many of our young people, and it's like Al Jazeera on steroids, amplifying and intensifying the anti-Semitism and the anti-Zion with no repercussion.
Interesting. So connect the dots here, folks. The U.S. government is controlled by Israel. That's verifiable. Just read John Mearsheimer's great book, The Israel Lobby. It's just one piece of well-documented and footnoted text to help you along if you're new to this. Anyone who works in Washington knows it. And anyone who left Washington knows that that's the truth. And they're lying if they don't admit it. As Uncensored Men explain on X, half of TikTok's users are between the ages of 10 and 29, with teens making up the bulk of the user base. Over 50% of content creators are between 18 and 24 years old. From October 23 to 30th of 2023, posts with the hashtag #StandWithPalestine were posted 10 times more posts than with #StandWithIsrael. Posts with the hashtag #StandWithPalestine also received 5 times as many views. When TikTok was accused of deliberately pushing pro-Palestinian content, they denied the claim and made it clear that the algorithm pushes whatever people engage with. So, you know, that's just what people were engaged with, I guess. Who knows? But it's more than just Israel. It's the U.S. intel community that doesn't like it. And they've been censoring Americans on these platforms for years. The CIA, the NSA, their ability to mass delete posts, shadow ban accounts, that we're talking unfavorably about all sorts of topics that they don't like, from mask mandates to COVID shots to Israel's invasion of Gaza to the 2020 election to Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump. They were shadow banning and blocking all of these things. As Mike Benz told Tucker, they view the American people as the greatest enemy. You are the greatest enemy.
And this was I call these weapons of mass deletion. These are essentially the ability to censor tens of millions of posts. With just a few lines of code, they created these COVID lexicons of what dissident groups were saying about mandates, about masks, about vaccines, about high-profile individuals like Tony Fauci. And then they plugged these into these essentially machine learning models to be able to have a constant world heat map of what everybody was saying about COVID. And whenever something started to trend that was bad for what the Pentagon wanted or was bad for what Tony Fauci wanted, they were able to take down tens of millions of posts. They did this in the 2020 election with mail-in ballots. It was the
there's so much here and it's so shocking. So you're saying the Pentagon, our Pentagon, the U.S. Department of Defense, censored Americans during the 2020 election cycle?
Yes, they did this. So there's the two most censored events in human history, I would argue, to date, are the 2020 election and the COVID-19 pandemic.
So do you still think it's just China? Something else in play here? I mean, the speed, the rapidity with which they could move to ban TikTok when the border is still wide open. The speed which they were able to jump on this is unbelievable, how quickly they were able to pass this in the House of Representatives. I'm just reminded of something that Edward Snowden said. The greatest threat to American citizens isn't China or TikTok. No, it's the American government that spies on us daily.
Ron Wyden was confronting the most senior spy in the United States, General James Clapper, who was then the director of national intelligence, right? There's no guy higher than him. The buck stops with him when it comes to intelligence. He's testifying under oath in front of Congress, right? But more broadly, in front of the public. This is televised. And Ron Wyden asks him a very specific question about a program, mind you, that Ron Wyden knows exists because he has security clearance. He sits on the Intelligence Committee. And he knows there's domestic mass surveillance. And this is how it goes. This is how the top spy responds under oath.
So what I wanted to see is if you could give me a yes or no answer to the question, does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly. There are cases where they could inadvertently, perhaps, collect, but not wittingly.
So that was a lie. Wyden knew it was a lie. Clapper knew it was a lie. He actually admitted it was a lie after I came forward, you know, 3 months later. Here I am, sitting at the NSA, next to my buddies who I've talked to about these programs. You know, I've gone, look at this, and they're laughing at it. You know, I'm laughing at it. And it's not that we go, oh, ha, 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 he's getting away with it. It's like, what are you going to do? These guys are, you know, they're bullshitters. The system is built on lies.
I mean, it keeps me busy every day, finding them, yeah. Reporting them, reading about them. Yes, this is true. It's easy to believe now.
Yeah, and I was going to say after the Dan Crenshaw bit that the one thing that like it doesn't hold up with the First Amendment part of this is as an American with free speech, if I want to be radicalized with Chinese communism, I actually have that right. I get to do that.
Right.
That's, yeah. As long as I'm not doing anything illegal with that information, if that's the path I want to take, that's my choice. That's what freedom of speech is, freedom of press.
I was telling
it's not up to them.
I was telling my son, my son was trying to understand some history of World War II. We were talking about, my son is 13 years old, and we were talking about Mein Kampf, the book that Hitler wrote, right? And I was explaining to him some of his art past, his artistry past, and his hatred of the Jews, and like how that was like bubbling in him for years. He wrote about it in this book. And my son said, are we allowed to read that book? I said, I had to read it. I had to read it in college to understand this madman. You know, it's an important piece of historical text to read, to understand what was the thought process behind this madman, you know? So the fact that my son was like, are we allowed to?
Right.
Right?
That's how he thinks.
Right. That he's now used to this idea that like, oh, you probably aren't allowed to see certain things.
Right.
Well, let me decide.
Think about the McCarthy era. I mean, all those people that went to trial for being communists.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They don't allow you to be what you want to be here.
Blacklisted, put on lists, blacklisted in Hollywood. It didn't matter. And you couldn't really defend yourself. You were outcast as a result of it. And whatever a member of Congress said is how it goes. So
I actually just picked up Joseph McCarthy's book because I'm like, I bet a lot of this will feel familiar if I read this now. And will it help as a cautionary tale? So, want to read that too? In the Redacted Book Club, you can find it at redacted.inc.
So let us know your thoughts on this in the comments. See if there's any good comments here. We got a couple of super chats here.
There's a Rumble chat too.
Good day from Australia. Chris Deese, thank you so much. Where's the Rumble chat here?
See,
Rumble chat
right
from a Marine. Smokey Sergeant. Patriot Act and FISA was only to be applied to foreign adversaries. Today it's applied domestically. TikTok ban will follow the same path. A plan to broaden the application is definitely already happening. Of course, you're absolutely right, Smokey. We already see that with FISA, right? As we've covered here on the show with Kyle Serafin, former FBI agent, whistleblower on this issue. They will use this, and they're currently trying to rewrite that right now, right? The FISA application law. So this would continue to be used against Americans. This is a loss of our privacy. We're so concerned about China, but we are literally becoming a communist country under your eyes right now, but the authoritarian government that's moving in this direction. So I hope people will wake up and not fall for this stuff. We'll see. We'll see what happens here.
Well, we're here. So we're going to talk about next how, at least in England, puberty blockers have been banned for adolescents. We're going to talk about what experts actually know about puberty blockers, and it will blow your mind. Even though we talk about this all the time, I'm still prepared to blow your mind with something new.
Yeah.
So stick around for that.
Well,
we're also going to talk about what?
Well, I was going to say we got two good stories, your puberty blocker story in the UK and Ireland. Also,
yes, we're going to talk about the definition of a woman in Ireland. We're going to talk about also, what is the royal family playing at? Get it? That's an English expression. What are they playing at? By trying to lie to us about Kate Middleton. If they're willing to do that, what else are they willing to lie about? And why is the media in their pocket repeating these lies? We're going to talk about all of that and more. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Redacted. Because if you're...
We are Redacted.
Or we are Redacted. We want to tell you about our friends at Aura, who are sponsoring the show Redacted, and we thank them for that because they help you to get out from under all of the spam calls and emails. It feels like an invasion of people always trying to get your attention, sell you something, text you about something. That happens because data brokers are selling our personal information and making a fortune from it. Your full name, email, home address, health records, your relatives, it's all out there, and it's legal for them to trade you like a deck of cards. So if you're annoyed by the constant spam, it's time to fight back with Aura. Aura's approach is a game changer. It's not just a band-aid on the problem. They're getting to the root of it and pulling out the problem. Aura doesn't just block spam calls and emails. They go to the source and stop them from selling your data in the first place. There's a bunch of features like antivirus, VPN, password management, and even identity theft insurance, all bundled into one package. So if you're tired of scammers and spammers, check out Aura. They're offering a 2-week free trial, and you can find out more at aura.com/redacted. And you can also see the link below in the description. One more time, that's aura.com/redacted. Give it a shot and take back your privacy. Well, no more puberty blockers for children in the United Kingdom. This was a decision made by the National Health System. This means that they can no longer use puberty blockers to treat gender dysphoria, which they weren't really doing anyway, and we're going to take a look at that in depth. These are drugs that were developed to treat child cancer patients whose chemotherapy had brought on precocious puberty. So you might see like a 4-year-old with boobs or something like that. It was never intended to pause development into adulthood forever, but they have been used for that at alarming rates. Now, here was this announcement from the NHS saying that puberty suppression hormones are not available as a routine commission treatment option for treatment of children and young people with gender incongruence or gender dysphoria. This doesn't mean you can't get them. You can. A lot of people in the UK have private health insurance, but you have to think that doctors are going to be a little bit more scared prescribing them in private, because if someone sues them, they can say, why did you make this decision when the NHS has already declared that these are not actually safe and we don't know it, right? So it probably will slow this down quite a bit in the United Kingdom because it's used mostly on tweens as their puberty is coming, because these kids are told, oh, you're transgender, but your puberty is going to turn you into a full-grown woman or man, and then you won't be able to switch it. So if you pause it now, we can sort of mold your body the way we want to, and you'll feel better, which is a total lie. Now, there are some pretty interesting admissions here. The document admits that gender nonconforming behavior is very normal. We have not seen that very much these days. That means, oh, a boy likes dolls or a girl wants short hair, that does not mean they're trans. That actually is what they call part of normal development. They also say that puberty blockers are currently being used off-label, which is true. That means it's not approved to give to tweens this way. They've just been doing it anyway. They also don't have a proper dosage. They don't know how much to give. They're just winging it. They also admit that patients that have gender dysphoria have a range of associated difficulties like bullying, low mood, depression, and self-harm. Also, they say that they only have a very small study about the use of puberty blockers for gender dysphoria. And in that study, take a look, it did not really help. It says that overall, there was no statistic significance of difference in gender dysphoria. Like, they were the same. So here's the meaning. They still felt just as bad. They still felt just as dysphoric. They didn't feel like, oh, I blocked my puberty. Cool. I'm going to be like this forever. No, they needed a continuous treatment. In fact, most of them go on to cross-sex hormones and, for the most extreme cases, surgery. Now, here's their conclusion. We've concluded there is not enough evidence to support the safety or clinical effectiveness of puberty blockers to treat for the treatment routinely available at this time. Now, there are a few things that they didn't say that we know about puberty blockers from the WPATH document. So last week, journalist Michael Schellenberger received leaked documents from the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. It's not a medical association. It's more like a legal, it's more like an advocacy group. The doctors make it up, but they don't give medical advice. They give winging it advice. These documents show some crazy things, you guys. They do show that this is something that we've known for a long time, that gender dysphoria usually resolves through puberty, meaning if you let a child go through puberty, they usually don't have gender dysphoria when they're done. This is common in the tweens. And then by the time they're an adult, they're usually a pretty healthy gay man. That's sort of the normal trajectory of these things. So they know that doctors have been using these puberty blockers like a makeup counter. One endocrinologist in Canada who does put kids on puberty blockers and all other buffet of things said this to a panel for other gender medicine doctors. His name is Daniel Metzger. He discussed the challenges faced when attempting to obtain consent from adolescents seeking this medical treatment. He says that he said to those assembled that they are often explaining all sorts of things to people who haven't even had biology in high school yet, adding that even adult patients often have very little medical understanding of the effects of these interventions. He describes young patients attempting to pick and choose the physical effects of hormone therapy, with some wanting a deeper voice without facial hair or to take estrogen, but they don't want to develop breasts. This suggests a very poor understanding of the workings of the human body and the treatment pathway that these adolescents are on. So they don't, the marching order, the thing that trans advocates say is the kids should be in charge. They absolutely know their own bodies. They know what's best for them. Listen to the kids. They don't know. They don't understand what's going on. In fact, he said that they kind of just make an order, like at a McDonald's, of what characteristics they want. He says it's hard to kind of pick and choose the effects that you want. That's something that kids wouldn't normally understand because they haven't had biology yet. But I think a lot of adults as well are hoping to be able to get X without getting Y. And that's not always possible. He says he has to tell them, you may be binary, but hormones are non-binary, but hormones are binary. Like, you can't get a deeper voice without also probably a bit of a beard. You can't get estrogen to feel more feminine without getting breast development. So what the hell, you guys? You can't just decide like, oh, I would like a little more feminine up here, but let's leave this alone. It's not the hairdresser when you're messing with this stuff. And when they try to explain to these children that these hormones could make them sterile, well, the kids don't get that either. Here's that same doctor saying, yeah, it's always a good theory to talk to the kids about fertility preservation with a 14-year-old, but you know I'm talking to a blank wall. They'll be like, ew, kids, gross, babies. And usually they'll just say, oh, I'll just adopt. And you're like, well, do you know what that's about, how much it costs, what you'll have to go through? And they're like, no, because they're 14. They don't understand it. So again, this idea of get informed consent, the kids understand what they're doing. They don't. And in fact, a study out of the Netherlands showed that people who go on puberty blockers have a high level of regret. And here Dr. Metzger says, yeah, that's not that surprising to us. Says some of the Dutch researchers gave some data about young adults who transitioned and had reproductive regret. Like, regret, and it's there. And he says, and that doesn't surprise us. Meaning all the doctors that are handing this out in this room, they know when they follow up with these people who become adults that they feel sad. And they even say like, oh, you know, why are you sorry that you didn't develop into a full reproductive human? And they'll say, oh, well, I met this great person. Now I want kids. Can't do that now because I messed with my body so much. What's more, they have research showing that if you do really show kids what will happen to them if you start to mess around with their body, they usually don't do it. So it says 2 decades ago at this Portman Adult Gender Clinic in London, a British psychiatrist demonstrated that giving trans-identified patients a realistic idea of what sex trait modification can achieve is a highly effective strategy for quelling the desire for medical intervention and minimizing transition regret. So what they did was they paired up some surgically transitioned people with other people who were like considering it, and they saw that person's not that happy that they did that to their body. They're struggling because it's painful because they mutilated themselves. And so when you see someone who's like, this is going to be great, I'm going to have boobs, I'm going to have pretty lipstick, it's going to be wonderful. And then you talk to someone who thought that same thing and now dealing with all of this post-operative care that, again, is unscientific and unproven, they don't do it. Here's one more just kind of crazy thing about, is this where I'm going? One more is the idea of informed consent around transgender patients who already have other mental health issues, which most of them do, such as autism, eating disorder, depression, and all of that. Most of them also happen to be obese, and the WPATH documents say, well, we have to just let them have their surgeries anyway. Even though there is a BMI limit, they go right past it. They ignore that. One case presented at the WPATH symposium had to do with trans patients who have multiple personalities or plural identities. So how do you get informed consent from someone who has multiple personalities? Well, here's what they came up with. They said they recommend affirmation of both trans and plural identities, which could lead to a gender and plural euphoria, as well as the suggestion that plurals have their separate personalities use an app to talk to each other to reach an agreement about hormonal and surgical sex trait modification interventions. You guys, an app. This is a child that has many personalities, and you're like, well, one of you in there wants to cut off the boobs or the penis? Okay. Get permission from the other ones using your iPhone, and then we'll do it. How much do you think they want? Clearly, they want to be putting kids on these drugs.
Didn't parents used to have to at some point explain that your imaginary friends aren't real?
I mean, you know, well, a multiple personality, this is very real to that person, right? So you can imagine how unethical it is to say, well, this Natalie wants the boobs cut off, so do it. And then other Natalie's going to wake up and be like, where do they go? Right? This is not ethical at all to treat just what one person. You got to deal with the multiple personality. That's like baseline. You got to deal with that first. And a lot of times these doctors know there is this anxiety, there is this, you know, depression, there is this thing. And they're just like, well, let's do the gender surgery. Don't worry about the trauma. Don't worry about the other stuff. Probably that'll work itself out. The gender stuff is the priority. So this is just proof that they're crazy. So,
well, good news out of the UK. Finally, I mean, it seems like we've seen some positive news here in the UK and in Europe, over the past few days. We have Ireland. We're going to be focusing on here in a few minutes. David Thunder is going to be joining us because of what Ireland just did to, they were going to amend the constitution to change the meaning of family, to remove mother and father from it. I mean, it's just a can of worms. Unbelievable. So we're going to talk about that. And Portugal, of course, just had their election and voted basically against socialism, finally. So maybe we see some movement here in Europe, which is exciting.
Right. Well, at the same time, you know, in the United States, when these laws banning puberty blockers are put on the books, they are challenged by the Supreme Court. They're taken, they're appealed. They're stayed because they're fighting so hard to be able to do these things to kids. When what you realize is it's not really kids leading this discussion. They're not like, oh, I eventually am going to want to look like a woman, so I better stop my development as a man. That idea was put into their minds by people who were already transgender as adults and wishing that they had never transitioned. But that was planted there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, it's wild that we're doing this. And when you see exactly how they know how harmful it is, it's just disgusting. We're going to keep talking about the WPATH documents because there's so much here. Today, we're only talking about puberty blockers, but we're going to keep talking about the cross-sex hormones that they know about, all the surgeries that they're doing, which is like Frankenstein's monsters. You know, The cross-sex hormones, they cause young boys to have painful erections like broken glass. They know this, and what they say to do about that is to tell young boys to stop having erections. Talk about conversion therapy. Or they say, well, you just got to cut it off then, and then you'll feel better. That's how you get that to stop. That's what they say. Broken glass erections. I mean, I can't even imagine, but... Yeah.
Tell a young boy.
Young boys on estrogen, their erections hurt them, and then you're telling them, we'll just try not to have them. That's awful.
Yeah, it is. You're not going to tell a teenage boy to not have an erection.
That's what they're doing.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, in middle school, I had to stop wearing sweatpants for most of those years. Because.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's involuntary.
Girls watching might not know or understand this, but oh my God. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
Can you imagine, though, these poor kids where like this happens involuntarily in school and then you're just screaming, broken glass? And literally, this one doctor is like, yeah, I had that too. The only way I got rid of it was by cutting it off. So this is cruelty. Ugh. You guys, it's awful.
He had second period at high school, and you know, what's her name would walk in because it was cheerleading day.
Uh-huh. No, that's not a out of the blue, though. That's for a reason. We're talking.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that Philip was talking about like that they all, come well, for no reason. For all reasons. The above. All reasons.
Yeah, it's all the above.
All reasons.
All reasons.
Yeah. It's just, okay. It just happens. Sandwich, I mean, you're
Who the hell knows? Yeah, it's being a boy, being a man.
I liked David's comment about this before when they say, David, write that on the board. And he's like, nope.
Yep, sorry.
I don't know the answer. Would any
boy like to come up here and write on the chalkboard and give us, nope, not going to. Clayton, you want to come up?
I don't
can't
know
right
that
now.
Answer.
My leg's asleep. I can't come up there. I don't know the answer to that. All right. We've got more news to get to here on your Wednesday. We're going to look at Ireland. We're going to look at this Haiti invasion. There's all sorts of propaganda going around right now on social media about an invasion coming from Haiti of cannibal gangs that are about to wash up on the beaches of Florida. What is the truth here? You know, it's very easy to go down a fear-mongering rabbit hole, as major media outlets have done over the past 24 hours on this story. But we're going to look at the truth on this and try to get to the heart of it. And hey, if they do wash up, and you know, we'll cover that as well. If they do suddenly by the thousands take over Miami, we will cover it. But anyway, we'll get there in a second. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at the Wellness Company, because this year is the year to be prepared. It's an election year. And I'm telling you what, things are hitting the fan right now. This past weekend in Boulder, Colorado, there was the Preppers. There was a Preppers conference convention. A lot of people showed up to check out ammo and water supplies and different knives and guns and how to do, you know, cook for yourself to create meals to protect yourselves. One great thing to prepare is to make sure you've got medicines on hand with a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. It's honestly one of the best things I've seen. You won't find anything like it in the store or the pharmacy. This is a prescription-only kit. It contains carefully researched assortment of life-saving medicines, including ivermectin, amoxicillin, Z-Pak, plus a guidebook to tell you exactly how and when to use them. You should get this and keep it in your house. And we're going to give you 10% off by going to twc.health/redacted. That's twc.health, not .com. It's .health/redacted. And you're going to get $30 off with free shipping as well. So go to TWC and use our code redacted to purchase your kit with $30 off and free shipping. No waiting for an expensive doctor's visit where they might refuse your request. You know, you're going to get 8 prescription medications shipped to your door in approximately 2 weeks right from the Wellness Company. Every American should have at least one of these kits in their home because we saw what they did to us during COVID and during lockdowns. So again, go to twc.health/redacted. Are cannibal Haitian gangs about to invade the United States coming up through Florida? Individuals like Tim Pool have called for the invasion of Haiti this afternoon. The former president, the unelected president of Haiti, is now gone. Ariel Henry is barbecue. Jimmy Chérizier, the new leader of Haiti. There's a lot of propaganda and fake news floating around about Haiti from people that have never been to Haiti, from people that don't know anything about Haiti and are reading propaganda online. But someone who just got back from Haiti and has been covering it extensively is Dan Cohen from Uncaptured Media, longtime friend of the show, and has, of course, done an entire documentary about Haiti. So there's no one I trust more to ask questions about the truth about what's actually going on there than Dan Cohen. Dan, great to have you back here on the show.
Great to be with you, Clayton.
So you've been getting a lot of sleepless nights trying to bat down a lot of the garbage that's been floating around online. Let's just take, first of all, this story about cannibals. I've seen this headline carried around the world that the gangs that we talked about last week here on the show, the gangs that we talked about here last week on the show that were released from prison are somehow cannibals because of some video footage that's emerged, and now they're about to invade the United States. Let's take that piece first, and then let's talk about the presidency, the prime minister relationship in Haiti.
Yeah, so this narrative of cannibals in Haiti has been seeded by these tabloid magazines in the US and UK, the Daily Express, which are just straight up, they're like gossip magazines. And that those were instantly picked up by some of the biggest influencers on X, formerly known as Twitter, who in the era of Elon Musk's ownership of the platform have become enormous. I'm talking about figures like Ian Miles Chong, talking about Chaya Reichick of Libs of TikTok, this guy Dom Lucre, I don't know if that's exactly how you say his name. And Elon Musk, too, is promoting this narrative. And then we saw Tim Pool call for an invasion of Haiti, as you pointed out. And none of these people have any idea what's actually going on. And it's just playing really into this old racist trope about Haitians. And, you know, I mean, really, the term racism is so overused. But in this case, it's totally accurate that these black barbarian Africans are coming with their voodoo ceremonies to now flood the United States, and so we have to send in our military to stop them. The civilized West must go in there, and so that's the narrative that really has been used over and over again, even back to the first U.S. occupation of Haiti in 1915. There were tropes about cannibalism then from even U.S. military officials, and so it's the same kind of pattern playing out again, but it's on social media. And it all goes back to a video from 2021. There's a video that went viral and of a Haitian gang member eating someone that he set on fire. And it's totally a horrific video, but suddenly this became like a part of this whole claim that there's a bunch of cannibalism going on. And people were saying, this guy Dom Lucre was saying, that's Jimmy Chérizier's cannibal gang. And it's the total opposite. The actual nasty criminals are the people that Jimmy Chérizier has been fighting against for years, as we've documented here in reports for Redacted, and then in the documentary that Haiti Liberté's Kim Ives and I did, called Another Vision.
So this video from 2021 didn't just happen over the past weeks, as a lot of the tabloid and propaganda has been pushing. But this narrative that this prison break, it's descending into chaos, plays right into the hands of what the United States has wanted all along, which is an invasion of Haiti. As we've reported here on this show for almost 2 years now, the United States government has tried to go to Canada in order to get Canadian troops to carry an invasion into Haiti. The United Nations, of course, took this up in United Nations special hearings on this. So there's a history of this propaganda being used to try to go into Haiti, right?
Exactly. The U.S. has been seeking to get some kind of military mission into Haiti, basically to assassinate barbecue Jimmy Chérizier for years. They actually started planning this out right after the assassination of the president in July 2021. They started looking at military scenarios, and the Biden administration has tried every which way to get a military invasion in. And now what's happened is basically since Ariel Henry, the de facto prime minister who the U.S. basically anointed as prime minister. He was never elected by Haitians, yet he was the prime minister for years. He left the country. He went to Kenya to sign basically an agreement with the Kenyan government to send 1,000 special force police into Haiti. And these are not, you know, I did an investigation at Uncaptured where I showed these are actual death squads. I mean, they have a horrific history in their own country, in Kenya, of basically disappearing people, leaving them in mass graves. And that's what Biden wants to send to Haiti. So when Ariel Henry, the de facto prime minister, went to Kenya to sign this agreement, Jimmy Cherizier and the other armed groups that he had united under what's called Vive Ensemble, which is Living Together, they went and attacked the airport. They took over the airport so Ariel Henry could not come back into the country. And so that actually forced Ariel Henry to resign. He's now in Puerto Rico under FBI protection. And the U.S. is now trying to figure out who they're going to put in or try to put in next. And they met on Monday in Jamaica, Blinken and several figures from other countries. No Haitians were allowed into the room. They were brought in to discuss who's going to be on this so-called presidential council. And the Prime Minister of Barbados, Mia Motley, said explicitly that whoever is allowed into this presidential council has to be a supporter of this military invasion of Haiti. So once again, you see foreign countries, tools of the U.S., trying to dictate Haiti's future, Haiti's politics, Haiti's sovereignty. I want to show this clip. So from an interview that I'm publishing today of Jimmy Cherizier and his former rival, a guy named Toto Alexandre, who discuss, they respond to what will to the prospect of a foreign invasion. And this was actually filmed. We filmed this back in August of 2023 when this alliance of armed groups was first announced. So watch this.
Il a fait même Jean ministre a été fait en 2004 violer petit garçon Jean soldat il était fait violer petite fille violer femme il a fait même Jean année parler il a porté choléra pour nous côté 20000 haïtiens mouri dans choléra plus passer 500000 l'autre infecté l'ONU connaît ça yo l'ONU mené bon enquête il connaît que c'est né parler yo et que quitter porter choléra qui ça yo fait yo pas jamais dédommager nous et yo refuser reconnaître que c'est yo qui t'ai porté maladie en Haïti et si force étrangère yo t'a venu. Si Ariel Henry t'a venu arrêter, nous t'ap content. Si force étrangère t'a venu et sécurité t'a metté pour qui permettre que moun sécurité pour la vie reprendre, nous t'ap content. Force étrangère t'a venu pour venir consolider pouvoir oligarque. 5% moun qui contrôle 85% richesse pays. Force étrangère t'a venu pour venir consolider Ariel Henry parce que connaît participer dans assassinat Jovenel Moïse. Et seule façon pour pas devant la justice pour pas arrêter, c'est mener force étrangère t'a venu. Et puis pour le faire une élection pour y vider, pour le mettre monde par le livre, à ce moment-là, pour le parler pour une question de la justice. Et pour être ça, le quartier populaire, au monde Belay, Toto représente Belay, moi représente force révolutionnaire, Genève en famille et Allemagne en main et tout. Et je dis, pas de ni Genève, pas de ni GPEP. Je dis, à de vivre ensemble. N'après une force étrangère, là, si on connaît, pour venir entrer dans le quartier populaire, pour venir faire massacre, venir tirer, venir massacrer le monde, venir faire cadejac, laisse à nous-mêmes. Dans le quartier populaire, qui est sans des salines dans nous, nous campé, nous boumé contre jusqu'à dernier goutte sans nous.
So we will fight until our last drop of blood. And Dan, it's interesting, if you read, like even Drudge Report this afternoon has a headline of Jimmy Cherizier takes over, you know, takes over Haiti. In fact, they link to an independent article says Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier, the former cop turned gang leader, bringing Haiti to its knees. And this is the propaganda. And I think so many on the right, they don't understand. They see these images and then they see people posting things on social media and they immediately go with the propaganda, not understanding the history of this.
Exactly. I mean, the fact is Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier has accomplished what the demands of the overwhelming majority of Haitians was. Firstly, to get rid of Ariel Henry, this guy who was never elected, that was just anointed as prime minister. And so now he is rising in popularity, and that is some kind of threat to the United States that wants to keep Haiti actually on its knees. And so this whole Mockingbird-style disinformation campaign ramps up through prominent figures on Twitter, through the mainstream media, all in order, especially, as you said, on the right, with these so-called anti-woke accounts that are doing the wokest thing ever. They're supporting Biden's invasion of Haiti. And, right. You know, one of the ironies to me, Clayton, is they keep talking about migration. There's going to be this migration, you know, barbecue is going to come eat people, and all these Haitians are going to come eat people. The cannibals are coming to the U.S. And they're talking, of course, about the migration crisis, and they're playing into fears about, and people don't like migration, unchecked migration, which makes sense in a way. But the irony is that if Haiti were allowed to develop and become a prosperous country, instead of a country living on its knees and in constant chaos because of foreign interference in its own affairs, because of its lack of sovereignty, then that would actually reverse the migration flow. We wouldn't see these horrific images of boats coming across to Florida, or people going through the Darien Gap, Haitians going through the Darien Gap. People would actually want to live in their country. So my message is, leave Haiti alone. Let it develop. Let it prosper so Haitians can actually live there.
No, this is exactly what the Biden administration wants, as we've covered here on the show. They go in and they disrupt these countries like in Nicaragua and Honduras and Guatemala. And then they wonder, then the Biden administration wonders, they're not even wondering. They know it's an orchestrated plan to have these individuals then flow into the United States. So without our meddling in Haiti, without our meddling in the Middle East, without our meddling in Africa, without our meddling in Latin America, these countries could become prosperous and they wouldn't want to be in the United States. And this is at the heart of this. You know, we try to put Band-Aid solutions on it, build a wall and all of that, yes. But of course, it has to start somewhere. Imagine these people do not want to have to leave their own countries, but we go in there and destabilize it, bring cholera and an invasionary force. So I'm stunned by these like accounts who are just completely uneducated about the history of Haiti and what's been going on here. So, yeah, Dan, any final thoughts on this? So are we under an invasion now from Haiti by cannibal gangs?
I'm shaking in my boots here in Washington, D.C., you know, so I hope not. But no, I mean, it's, you know, you got to really wonder who's putting these accounts that are promoting this cannibal disinformation up to it. I don't think this is, it doesn't feel like an organic thing. And, you know, we all know about Operation Mockingbird. I mean, I suspect there's a much more advanced version going on right now, that even under Elon Musk's ownership of Twitter, there's all kinds of coordinated efforts to promote disinformation to advance this agenda.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. So people wake up, pay attention. Our audience is not stupid. They've been following this story for years now here on Redacted. Please don't fall for it. Please don't fall for this propaganda. You know, just when you see these things, I mean, just wonder why all of a sudden, you know, why all of a sudden all of these accounts are posting the same thing. Very, very interesting. And it's happening. Yeah, it's happening on Elon Musk's X, which is supposed to be the bastion of freedom right now, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Dan, great to see you. Thanks for your amazing reports on this. I encourage all of our viewers to check out Kim Ives and Dan. They did a great documentary on Haiti. If you want some context and history on this, important to do that. Follow Dan on X as well, and follow his Uncaptured Media on YouTube. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it as always.
Thank you. And check out all the reporting we did for Redacted on Haiti too. I mean, those are basically like, you know, almost follow-up episodes to the documentary. So it's really important to help the audience understand, you know, what's happening there is what we've done on Redacted.
Yeah, it's a great point. If you want to be educated, or you can end up being like some of these right accounts, these anti-propaganda woke accounts that are all over Twitter right now, who are uneducated about it, watch the pieces. Dan, they're in Port-au-Prince, going through the neighborhoods, interviewing these individuals, talking to the hospital owners, talking about the cholera epidemic, like right there on the ground. That's why we sent Dan there. That's why he was doing the work he was doing. So anyway, watch those documentaries, watch those pieces to be educated about it. Dan, thanks as always. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. I should also mention, too, if you go to uncaptured.media, you can watch the full interview that Dan had done with Barbecue, that he and Kim Ives had did with Barbecue, Jimmy Cherizier. Just so you understand, just educate yourself on this. So check that out as well. All right, we've got more news to get to here on your Wednesday. We are going to look at the royal family. People are saying, why are we in the royal family? It's because something very mysterious is going on. Is there a murder involved? Is there some sort of a cover-up? What is happening with it? It's a very interesting story. I mean, I was like out to lunch on it, and then Natalie's been diving into a lot of the details on it. She started telling me about it over lunch, and I was like, holy crap, really? Okay, so now I'm fascinated by this. We're going to get into that in a moment. Plus, we're going to look at Ireland shocking the world. This is great news out of Ireland. Maybe Europe is finally waking up, so we will get to that in just a moment here. Am I right about that? Am I right?
We're going to do it right now, this moment.
Okay, let's do it.
Not in a moment, this moment.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Did the royal family either kill Kate Middleton, like Diana, or her lover, or both? Why is she missing? This is the most extreme of the theories out there, but given how obvious it is that the royal family is hiding something, we are going to consider everything. So let's run over the Kate Middleton conspiracy theory, because one, I can't look away, and two, it's not just palace intrigue. They're lying to us, and the media is going right along with it. Now, you may have heard that the British press had a reputation for being kind of hard on people, being nosy, right? They take stories and they run with it. Not in this case. They're saying, oh, okay, this is this bullshit photo you want to give us of Kate Middleton. We're sure she's fine. The conspiracy theories are wrong. Okay, so why are they lying? If they're going to lie about this, what else are they going to lie to us about? So here's a quick summary of all of the conspiracy and why it was launched in the first place. So last weekend was Mother's Day in the UK. The Instagram account for the Princess of Wales published this heavily altered photo. Now you can see at the bottom, there's even this sort of like, this was an altered photo, which is strange to do because a lot of people put altered photos on their Instagram. Like, why do they need to take this one so seriously? Now people knew right away that this was a crappily edited photo. Here's just a few things that were wrong, like the way her hand was, the way the princess's skirt is coming out, the daughter princess.
Yeah, look on the skirt because it's like sticking out on the left-hand side, like it's been just like...
Her wrist doesn't line up, whereas number one is. You see number seven, that's pretty blatant, is like the pavement is moved for whatever reason. You know, the way that her hair is falling is strange. There's even more. You can go down people listing all the ways that this was just a bad job of editing. It was so bad that the next day the Royal X account posted this on behalf of the princess saying, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. See. Okay, no one really buys that she is doing editing herself and would do something so poorly, and that this would not be caught by the people who curate the reputation of the Prince and Princesses of Wales. But to make it seem even worse, no one has actually, it just sort of highlighted the fact that no one has actually seen her in public since Christmas Day, because people began demanding to see her in the wake of this truly cagey behavior. The press published this photo saying, oh, there she is. Okay, so if they're going to prove to us that she's out and about and fine, they're going to give us a photo where her head is turned. That doesn't solve anything. No one felt better after that. Now, the photo credit here is Bruce Bennett. The Telegraph says that they spoke to the photographer, and he said this. The Telegraph has spoken to the photographer. They admit they were lucky and that they didn't know that the princess would be traveling by with the prince. Right. E! News spoke to Gough Photos, who they say is the agency that released those photos. They say the image in the car was cropped and lightened, but nothing else doctored. Okay. And last week, the press reported that she was spotted driving with her mom. Here's the image we got. Only if you zoom in, it really does not look like her. Now, I realize people who have been in surgery sometimes get swollen from IV drips or other procedures, or maybe she had cosmetic procedures. I don't know, but it really doesn't. The one on the left is her that we know of. The one on the right is what we're being told is her, driven by her mother. So neither of these two photos from the last week had any witnesses. They just appeared in the press. And the press is like, yep, that's her. We'll print it.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, that photo, if you put it back up there, it looks like she's, like, they removed her mole, too.
Sometimes her mole is less visible in other places, but yes. And, you know, she's also, she's wearing heavy makeup here. Her face is clearly wider. It doesn't, yeah, it doesn't help the conspiracies. And again, you know, the press is just saying, okay, we're satisfied with this. Totally fine. And also the press is saying all conspiracy theorists, all of them are debunked. Here is an article from the Telegraph today. Princess of Wales photo conspiracies debunked. So as soon as they call something a conspiracy, I'm starting to believe it. Here are a few other things that don't add up. When it was announced that she would have abdominal surgery in January, they said that this was planned. And they said that she would need at least 4 months to recover, and most likely she would not return to royal duties until Easter. Only last year, the couple said that they'd be visiting Italy in the spring of 2024. So why would you announce a big trip like this around early 2024 if you had planned to have a surgery you knew you need months and months to recover for? That's weird, right? Also, even though she was in the hospital for more than 2 weeks, in January, there were no reports that her children or her parents ever visited her. Prince William visited her once, and the king visited her once. That's very strange. Also, when a Spanish blogger said that she had it on information that Kate was in a medically induced coma, the palace refuted it, saying, that's not true, we're scandalized by it, which is funny because they never refute anything. Here is the same palace anger over made-up claims that the Princess of Wales in a coma. You know, the royal edict is never explain, never complain. They never explain things like this, but they're explaining a lot in the wake of this Where is Kate scandal, which is strange. Now, in response to people demanding to see the undoctored photo of the Mother's Day photo, the palace is saying no. We're not going to show you this photo, which would just solve it, right? Okay, if she photoshopped this herself, let's see the non-photoshopped image, and then we'll believe that this was legitimately taken either over the weekend or recently, and this is her. But they won't do that. Well, why would they not do it? Could it be because this image was taken last year, and if they show it, it will show the original clothing that matches an event that we saw them at together last Christmas? This video has been viewed millions of times by people saying this totally makes sense.
Instead, I'm gonna say let's take a really good look at these outfits. Okay, so in November, Kate and her kids went to a baby bank and put together a charity video that dropped in December. And if you know anything about Kate Middleton, you know that people obsessively track her fashion. So of course I was able to find a bunch of blogs breaking down exactly what she was wearing. Now, yeah, I know that the sweater in her picture was black, but stick with me because it's photoshopped. I think they changed around the clothes on the photo, but look at these boots and look at the pants. This is the exact sweater. It's from a company called Rice, I believe. And look at that neckline and look at this part right here. I've upped the exposure quite a lot so that you can see the ribbing better, but look how it lands on her like thigh area, the thickness of that belt of the ribbing, and then look at the turtleneck. Yes, I know a lot of turtlenecks look the same, but I do believe that this was photoshopped to be darker and it was just that cream sweater because they don't make it in another color. They make it in cream and in camel. Now let's look at the boots that she's wearing in this new photo. It's the same exact boots as this baby bank visit that she did with her kids. Let's talk about the little girl and what she's wearing. Look at the neckline on this sweater.
Okay, so she's able to match up everything the kids are wearing, and she says you could just Photoshop switch the color or the pattern a little bit, but they are almost identically dressed as they were in one of their last public appearances, and that seems weird. So will the palace not release the unedited version because it would prove that that is exactly what they're wearing from that same day? therefore it's an old photo. Now, this is really strange too. Another theory is that it's possible she was pregnant with the illegitimate child of a family friend who allegedly committed suicide recently by giving himself a terrible head injury. I don't know if that's very common to bring upon your own death with head injury, right? I don't think that's how most people do it, but okay, watch this guy explaining it.
I'm gonna come out now. Allegedly, Kate Middleton may have been pregnant with Thomas Kingston's baby. To make matters worse, Thomas Kingston was found dead just a few days ago, locked inside a room at his parents' apartment with a traumatic head injury. For those that don't know, Thomas was in a relationship with Kate's sister, Pip Middleton, for quite some time. And he stayed in contact with Kate ever since. Even recent WhatsApp messages have been leaked showing Thomas was sending her messages wishing her a speedy recovery in terms of her stomach issues. But did Kate fall pregnant with Thomas's baby, and did she refuse to have an abortion after having three children? And then did someone forcibly remove the pregnancy? Again, it's allegedly. The longer the Buckingham Palace stays silent on this issue, the more speculation is going to run riot. And Kate hasn't been seen since Christmas Day. So something is clearly fucking going on here. He was blatantly murdered. She hasn't been seen since December. There's something going on. Surely there's something going on. Let me know what you think in the comments. As always, I will keep you up to date, for fuck's sake.
I'm sorry, I forgot to warn you about the F words. I watched that earlier. Kind of fun, though. I apologize if you were watching with a youngster. So why don't they just send her out to walk the dog? Wheel her out somewhere. Have her sit her down somewhere. Let us just see, right? Why does every explanation they offer only make it worse? And why does the media just play along? Why is it only X users and TikTok users who are sniffing out these inconsistencies and not the media? Oh, except CNN. They do say, instead of getting to the bottom of where she actually is and doing investigative journalism, no, what they're going to do is they're going to review all the other old royal photos to make sure that those were not Photoshopped too. So CNN is saying, oh, okay, people are worried about, you know, doctored photos. We're just going to look through. They're going to sit and look through some albums instead of going and finding her like we might expect from a news network. Way to misread the room, CNN. No one cares about that. We don't care about old photos. We care about where she is now. Maybe you want to go find her? Do that. But I guess if they're going to go through some old albums, they can start with this one right here. Because this one definitely looks doctored. So that's a good place to start.
Yeah, Paddington.
I don't see it.
You don't?
I don't see where it would be Photoshopped. It looks pretty natural to me.
Yeah.
Look how the fur is sitting on the actual seat.
So Paddington wasn't actually there that day.
Look how his shadow is not right against the... There's no T in that color.
Someone in the chat says, man, Redacted jumped the shark. Chuchulon 1967, Redacted jumped the shark.
Oh, you're here for it. Knock it off. I can see the stream going up. People love talking about this stuff. Yes, palace intrigue. I'm here for
it. I don't really care. Yeah, I care about the relationships and all that. I care more about what are they covering up?
Yeah.
And are they lying? And are they lying to people?
Well, also,
what are they trying to hide?
Are they hurting her the way that they, you know, that there was alleged abuse of Diana? You know, is it somebody who's not playing along and is being hurt?
And for what reason are they being hurt? Yeah. So yeah, that part of the story is interesting to me. But yeah. And they are arguably the biggest figureheads in the UK.
Right.
I mean,
and again, my sort of amusement of all of this is watching the media saying, no, stop it. We're taking the palace's word for this, the same way they do the UK government, the White House, Downing Street, all of that stuff. So I welcome your comments, but not ones that are saying, why are we talking about this? We talk about everything.
Yeah, we do. And we're going to. So tonight we've covered the banning of TikTok and the involvement there. We've also covered, of course, puberty blockers in the UK and that being banned, the Haiti invasion. And by the way, I should mention Smokey, one of our viewers here on Smokey Sargent. He just posted this. He was a Marine, U.S. Marine, and was in Haiti. And I just want to go back to it, but it disappeared from our It was a super rumble rant, and I can't find it. Anyway, Smokey Sergeant said that he was in Haiti as a U.S. Marine, and he was there, watched under the Bill Clinton administration, where they totally destabilized and destroyed that country and left it to rot. So you can blame the Clinton administration for its rot, absolutely. And you know, Donald Trump called out Hillary Clinton during the campaign on the Clinton administration, the Clinton Foundation's work and what they've done to Haiti as well. So thank you, Smokey, for your comments there in your service, by the way. Also, we're going to look at Ireland shocking the world in just a moment. But first, we should mention that we have a store. Yeah, let's tell them about our store. If you go to redactedstore.com, you can pick up some hoodies, some t-shirts, and mugs to support our show here if you'd like. I loved still one of my favorite stories from a few weeks ago. One of our viewers said he was wearing a redacted hoodie and he went to the store and he saw another person who was wearing a redacted shirt. And I said, "You watch Redacted?" And I just love that idea that, you know, it's not CNN, it's not Fox, it's not any of these like big mainstream media news organizations. We're a little independent news organization, and two redacted viewers found each other in the grocery store. Wouldn't it be amazing if they got married? We'd have a redacted wedding, like a royal redacted wedding. Mm-hmm. Don't roll your eyes at me. Go to redactedstore.com is the place to go to support independent journalism, and check out what we got over there, redactedstore.com. Well, finally, some good news to share with you here on the show. At least Europe seems to be waking up. Maybe. Fingers crossed. This weekend, Portugal said no to socialists in their most recent election. The UK just banned the use of puberty blockers for kids. Huge victory. And Ireland just shocked the world with a majority of Irish voters saying hell no and rejected the government's plan to change the definition of family. That we're about to do that. I'm feeling pretty good about all of this right now. David Thunder is an Irish researcher, lecturer in political philosophy, and he's been covering this vote, this government vote, on his Substack. David, welcome back to the show. Good to see you.
Thanks, Clayton. Good to see you. Good to be here.
Yeah, and hopefully this is some good news. The rejection of this seems like a big deal. We'll get into that and how it was rejected in a second. But before we get into the vote on this, can you explain to our audience what the government was trying to do here with this redefinition of the family?
Yeah, there were two amendments that they were trying to push through to our constitution. One of them, which was, I would say, very controversial, was to basically change the definition of the family, which previously had been defined as a unit based on marriage, right? A social unit that came out of a marriage. And they wanted to change that to a social unit that was based on a durable relationship, right? So durable relationships were to become the basis for marriage. And nobody quite knew what a durable relationship entails. It was in a highly ambiguous and open-ended concept, and it gave rise to a lot of concerns. And the second amendment was what they called the Care Amendment, which the Constitution recognizes the critical role of mothers and their contribution to the common good because of the work, the caring work they do in the home. But this particular amendment wanted to remove the reference to mothers and just make it more gender neutral and kind of say, well, the Constitution recognizes the role of caregivers in the family, but they basically took out the word mother and replaced it with members of the family.
So the so-called Care Amendment, and as you described it, as a, basically just a piece of window dressing. So and it's, so they're going to remove and also remove fathers too, right? Was there a mention of fathers in this?
No. I mean, the interesting thing is that they sold it as being a more inclusive approach to care and less kind of, you know, more inclusive and more respectful because, you know, it was all the members of the family and not just the mother. But actually what they ended up doing was they took out mother, where they could have said mothers and fathers. But instead of that, they just said members of the family. And I would assume that this is partly because they want to, you know, bring in the idea that carers can be transgender, can be mothers, can be fathers, can be, you know, that they don't want a biologically defined account of parenting. I would say that's one of the things that's driving this particular amendment.
Forgetting the research around the importance of family and what it does to children, the raising of children, how important it is, right? We know in the absence of having a father in the family, how detrimental it is to a family, right? Forget the research for a moment on that. But this family amendment, as you write, if it would have passed, it would have had all sorts of financial and regulatory concerns for, like, inheriting property. Like, if I'm just the boyfriend of somebody and someone passes away, do I have a right to your home now? I mean, that's at the heart of this too, no?
Yes, a lot of legal uncertainty was going to arise out of these amendments had they been passed, particularly the family amendment, the redefinition of the family. Michael McDowell, who's a senator and a former attorney general in Ireland, led a no campaign, and he formed a group of lawyers to oppose the amendment. And his argument was basically that we are sowing chaos in the Constitution because they will not know, people will not have any legal certainty about, for example, who is eligible to inherit their property. So if you don't make a last will and testament and you die, who has a claim on your property? Could, for example, my girlfriend, if I had a girlfriend, could she have a claim on my property that was on a par with the claim of my brothers and sisters or my parents? And the honest answer is nobody knows. Nobody knows the answer to these questions because the legislators didn't actually give any answers to these questions. They didn't define it in the law. And so this would have gone through the courts and it would have been a nightmarish process where people would have had to fight all sorts of complicated cases of inheritance and tax law and pensions, many, many ramifications, and immigration as well, because, of course, family reunification rules in immigration could have been fought on the basis that they were being excluded by the Constitution. You know, for example, if someone had three wives, and he wanted to bring over his three or four wives, well, under this definition, surely he could, and their children, and all their children. And that would have to be fought out through the courts to see if they could. There would have been a lot of litigation, complicated litigation, and a lot of legal uncertainty.
I mean, we know in probate court in the United States, I'm not sure exactly what it's called in Ireland, but oh my God, it's a nightmare. If you don't have a will and testament set up to make sure that your family, you're designating who in your family are going to be handed down certain items, then it goes to probate court if you don't have that, and a judge gets to decide. You know, a judge gets to decide the makeup of your family. They don't know you at all. This could just, and it's already a nightmare. Probate court in the United States is already nightmarish. And now you would add this incredibly complex layer on top of it would be just a disaster for people. I mean, you would have, not just for the family, it would be, a real estate nightmare. It would be a tax nightmare. You drive your country into the toilet, essentially, by doing something like this. But this has all been done under the guise of like woke progress, right? We're being progressive here. Did the supporters of these members of the government, did the constituents that hang out at the pub, that go to the soccer games, football games on the weekends, go to the schools, were they demanding this? We need to rewrite the definition of a family?
No, I don't think there was any popular demand. This didn't really arise out of there was a kind of a constitutional assembly that they have, which is a sort of a not, well, that's a whole nother story, but they have a group of people who are taken out of a sample out of the population who debate constitutional issues and who apparently were consulted on this. I don't consider that to be reflective of the views of the wider population. For lots of reasons, but in terms of the wider population, no, there was no particular demand for these referendums, and I think the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding because if you look at the actual results, the results are overwhelmingly negative. I mean, these referendums, the turnout was 44, just over 44%, not a very high turnout, but not a terribly low turnout either. And in the family amendment, which wanted to redefine the family, we had a 67.69% no vote. And in the care amendment, we had a 73.93% no vote. That's almost three in every four people, three or four citizens voted no to the CARE amendment, and two in three citizens voted against the family amendment. So if you just look at that, I mean, the CARE amendment was the strongest no vote in the history of the Constitution, in fact. And then you look at what the deputies in the parliament were voting, and all of the political parties, except for two tiny parties, all of the parties were supporting a yes vote. And so basically, the way I see it, basically between 67 and 75% of the country was being represented by four members of parliament in a parliament of 160. So that tells me that we have a major crisis of democracy, because the disproportion is so enormous. I mean, so I think we also have a political opportunity, because clearly this vote was also a kind of a protest against the government. It was a vote of no confidence in the government, because frankly, people don't trust the government anymore. A lot of people don't trust the government. And I think, given that we have a general election just around the corner between now and March of next year, we will have a general election. I think this may augur a significant realignment in the political system in Ireland.
Well, one can only hope, and I think we're seeing it in parts of Europe. I mentioned Portugal off the top here. We're seeing it in other countries right now. And I think when put to a vote, people are saying enough is enough of this craziness. And I think people are shocked, even in California. Proposals just passed where, and the people there were shocked that they could actually get proposals through that would require background checks and make sure that no one's on drugs in order to get welfare. And so the people were like, wait a minute, we can actually vote for this? And it passed. And now they'll have to be forced to check for those types of things. And so I think you're starting to see a change here. Are you hopeful that Ireland will get its act together over the next year?
Yes, I'm. Let's say I'm cautiously optimistic. I would say that one thing that's very clear is that the current political establishment of Ireland have to go. They are not competent to govern the country. They're the most incompetent government on issues such as immigration, housing, and healthcare that I have seen in my lifetime. And I would say that this vote is a significant political defeat for them, given that they were pushing these referendums, these amendments, publicly, and all the parties, including the opposition parties, except, as I said, these tiny parties, were pushing for a yes vote. So I think what this depends on, I mean, getting them out and getting someone better in, basically what it really depends on is that there be some form of rival political organization that gets its act together and unifies. Because right now we have a bunch of independents who are not party affiliated, right, who I think are sensible. And then we have tiny parties who I believe are also quite sensible. But if they could unite forces, because right now there is no rival political party or political party capable of rivaling the mainstream parties. But there is a sizable bulk of independents and these tiny parties that if they were able to unite, then that could help, produce some momentum.
Well, one can only hope. Well, David, you've been doing a great job, and hopefully, you know, people are waking up and paying attention to the work you're doing and covering this. And the Irish people voted overwhelmingly no on this. So we know where they stand on these issues. So hopefully this is a wake-up call for the government. David Thunder, thank you so much. We'll have it linked up in the show description, your Substack, so people can check out all of your great work over there. We appreciate it as always.
Thank you.
Thanks once again to David for being on the show. Really appreciate that. Hey, we had many of you join our new Plus Club, which is available to all of you. This show is totally free here at Redacted. You can subscribe to us here on YouTube, on Rumble, on X, and it's totally free. However, if you'd like to take the extra step and support independent journalism, we are not funded by billionaires. We are supported by you. Just come over to redacted.inc and join our Plus Club. And for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support what we do here. Access to exclusive interviews. We have a couple of interviews that only you guys will get to see first on our platform, and a great community over there. So you get access to exclusive videos and interviews that you won't get to see other places. which is exciting. So please come on over if you'd like to support what we do here. Go to redacted.inc and join our Plus Club. And we really, really appreciate it. So we'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. That's when we stream live on all of these platforms. And we really appreciate all of your support. And have a great night, everyone.